Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Bring them out. Woo! Oh, God. Welcome in to the Captain J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We have Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for this 3-hour ride here on this Waddle Wednesday with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And Cap, one of the reasons why that they have given us the assignment to come in every morning between 7 and 10 is because if there's a game at night that lasts a long time, or the late night game, the West Coast game, the Mountain Time game, we're here to be able to stay up and be able to tell the people in their cars or on their way to work what happened the night before. And so last night, Cap and I stayed up and watched the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs lose 12-11 in 10 innings. Another extra inning affair for the Cubs. What a tough way for the Cubs to lose last night.
Johnny, those who fail to remember history are doomed to repeat it. And I'm talking to you, Mr. Hoyer, in your suburban estate. Last year, your team finished one game short of going to the playoffs. One. Because you did not do enough to fix your beleaguered, crappy bullpen. So I figured this year, you know what? We're going to go get some bullpen arms. And you, again, did not do enough. Yency Almonte, very, very pedestrian. Hector Neris, very, very pedestrian so far. And you do not have a closer on this team. Alzolay is not a closer. Let me repeat that again. Adbert Alzolay does not have the testicular fortitude, hence balls, to be a closer. How many times have we watched this dude melt down in the ninth or tenth inning of trying to close a game out, and we're what, 3 weeks in? Last night, Kyle Hendricks, and my wife had a good analogy, and I like Kyle, and I respect his career. He's a great person. That all said, when my dog Yoshi last August, you were off. Courtney Cronin was sitting right here where I'm at. I was in your seat, and I got the call that he had a seizure. I came home, and he died in my arms. We had to put him down. He kind of rallied. Mindy took him to the vet, and they put a shot in, and he was gone. He was going to be 16 years old. And you know why we put him down? Because we loved him. And it was time. He was in pain. And that's what I'm watching with Kyle Hendricks. He's like an old dog. Man, he had a great run with us. He's the last link to the championship at 16.
Damn.
He can't do it anymore, folks. Find a hamstring, a forearm strain, a fingernail that's inflamed, an infection of some sort, and put him on the 10-day IL. Let Tommy Hotovy work with him. And if you can get him right, great. He's a great leader in the room. He's a great role model. Right now, he's Yoshi. That's what he is. He's at the end of his rope. Hey, man, you were great for the family, for the team. We've got to give you the euthanasia drug here. You just don't have it. He's given up 7 home runs in 17 innings. Last year, he gave up 13 for the season in 100 and whatever innings. It's awful. They're teeing off like it's freaking batting practice. And then Ian Happ rescues you. He hits a home run, a laser beam to left field.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are texting.
Yeah.
Laser beam. Grand slam. Cubs take the lead. Huh. Here we go. And then you bring in one crappy reliever after another, I'll leave lighter to the side. He's solid. He's fine. He's not great. He's fine. And we go to the eighth, get a triple with a man out from Nico Horner, who had a four-hit night. And here comes two of my most highly paid Cubs ever, Dansby Swanson and Cody Bellinger. Strikeout, strikeout. You can't get that guy in?
Damn.
And then we go to the bottom of the eighth, and my Gold Glove shortstop makes another error. Another one. And guess what? That guy comes around now to make it a one-run game. We go to the ninth. Moribund offense does nothing. Nothing. Bottom of the ninth. Out, out. And here comes Marte. And guess what? Alzolay hangs one right down the chute. Right down the freaking Broadway. Here it is. Hit it. Bam. Out. Gone. Game time. I'm so freaking mad. Not that they lost. What pisses me off is that they didn't get to the playoffs last year because they didn't want to get enough help in the bullpen. And they did the same nonsense again. This bullpen sucks. You tell me you're trying to win, you're spending $230 million, and that's the garbage you're running out there? That's on you, Tom and Jed. That ain't Council's fault. Look down the bullpen and go, who you putting in? So mad. You blow an 8-run lead to San Diego. You blow that game last night. All of a sudden, you could have one of the better records in baseball. But you didn't do enough, and that's on you.
I think this should be the new song when Kyle Hendricks comes to the mound. Just play that. Just play that.
With the puppy squealing.
Yes, and that's the organ music that they should play at Wrigley Field for Kyle Hendricks. He's made 4 starts, Cap, and has an ERA of 12.71 is Kyle Hendricks. He's gone 5 innings once, and that was that loss against San Diego where he gave up 7 runs. And then, again, another 7 runs last night. Now, 3 of those runners came around to score after he left the game because Luke Little couldn't find the plate last night. That's another issue with this bullpen. But the point is, though, Cap, is that you have a big decision to make. Yes, an IL stint for the mystery IL stint for Kyle Hendricks, I think, is needed for him to reset. But here's the thing. Either he's going to be in the rotation or he can't be on the ball club. This is not one of those guys you bring in for long relief. That's not his game. When you throw 86, 87 miles an hour and it's hittable, it used to be where Hendricks could spot it, right? We call him like mini Maddox because it'd be 86, 87 with movement.
Correct.
Cap, that ball doesn't move anymore. It's so hittable. Like you said, it's on a tee. You have a choice with Kyle Hendricks. Either he's going to get right or he can't be on the ball club. Because you can't just keep moving on just saying, the tenured professor. You can never be questioned. You're trying to win something here.
He would tell you.
Yeah, that'll
be
all.
Criticizing him as a person. He's a great person.
But his stuff is not good at all.
But I'd rather have an axe murderer on the mound if he's going to get people out. Come on now. I'm not asking him to marry my sister. I'm asking him to get freaking hitters out.
Yes. Now, you criticize the Cubs for them not being able to get the job done late in the ballgame, the ninth and definitely in the 10th. 11 runs should be enough to be able to win the ballgame.
No doubt.
Because what I was telling you last night is what I liked about the Cubs, what we saw last night offensively, that's Cubs baseball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have.
Yeah.
Station to station, double, 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 hitting it off the wall. Jumping on the early pitches, and that's what we saw last night. You were watching.
I was.
I like the opportunistic way of the Cubs just battling away, just hitting the ball off the wall, Ian Happ with a great game, Nico Horner with a great game, and you get 11 runs only based on one home run, that laser, as you mentioned, hit by Ian Happ. But if you just continue to keep the line moving, that works.
Yes.
Because now you're on second base, running scoring position, and you just keep coming through. But this game last night, if you did not see, and Cap is laying it out to you perfectly because I watched it too. The idea that you have Kyle Hendricks, you have a nice lead, and the Hendricks gives it away, and then the bullpen gives it away even more so. That dog don't hunt. That's not sustainable at all. For all the good we saw from the Cubs offense, the bullpen let it loose last night.
I'm more than a little concerned. Huh? Dansby Swanson doesn't look very good at the plate. Okay. Some guys start slow, whatever. You can't make errors. You can't. I'm not asking you to have an errorless season. But come on, man. It's a 11-9 game in the eighth. You got to make the play. You got to make the play. And then people are texting me, buddies of mine. Amaya's got to block that ball. I'm like, block that ball? Got a 6'8 guy that can't find home plate.
Yeah.
He's like on a skateboard back there, all over the place.
Damn.
If you can't find the plate, him, Palencia, I don't care if you throw 99 miles an hour. When you take something off because I got to get it over and they beat your ass. Come on.
You know
what are we doing here?
Kev, you know what's worse is walks.
Walks drive me insane.
10 walks last night for the pitching. I mean, that for the
seven
pitching.
Seven from the bullpen.
Yeah, that won't get it done.
That will not get it done.
Mm-mm.
And you're escaping, and finally it got you because a couple of nights ago, Neris walks the bases full and they get out of it. He's pumping his chest. Stop. Throw freaking strikes. So, again, I'll say it again. Kyle Hendricks has had an amazing career. Amazing.
Oh, God.
But he's like a dog that's about to turn 16. It is.
Oh, my God.
Got to carry him up the stairs. Soils himself. I mean,
there's flies.
What are we doing here?
There's flies on that dog.
And just for $1 a day, you can take Kyle Hendricks home. It's a very difficult time for all of us, but give this dog some love. Here's a guy that gives up 7 runs through 4 innings. Do you hear me, 35th and Vec? There's your number one starter. Bring him home. Let him stay in Chicago. The number's on your screen, right there. Give us a call for $1 a day.
Get out of there, Getz.
I mean,
there's flies all over that dog.
Again,
he's dying.
Why are you being so hard on Kyle Hendricks?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what a buddy of mine said to me. Why are you so hard on Kyle? I said, I'm not hard on Kyle Hendricks. I'm hard on his work. There's a difference here.
See, if that's anybody else, see, this is my problem in this city. This is the problem. And it's not everybody, but just some. You don't hug Kyle Hendricks like some tenured professor because of what he did in the past.
Correct.
It's about today.
What did you do for me today?
Today.
Hey, man, I appreciate everything you did. Clinching the pennant over the Dodgers was 8 years ago. Thank you. Thank you for what you did in Game 7 in Cleveland. Greatest sports moment of my life. Awesome. It's 2024. And guess what? You don't hop on the bed like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
I got to help you up. I got to clean up your poop because you're on the ground and you can't move as well.
Yeah.
Guess what? Sometimes you got to go to the vet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade. I said this when my dog died. I wouldn't trade all the great memories, snuggles and on the couch.
Sure.
And hanging out and going for walks and runs with him to ease the pain of putting him down. But guess what? At some point, you got to get the syringe out, man.
I understand. And that's where Kyle Hendricks is right now. So let's play GM, Cap. We got to figure this out together.
Yeah. And, I'm not saying to release him. I'm saying
Cap.
Phantom injury, let him work it out in the bullpen. And if it doesn't get fixed, then you're gone.
You just have to do it.
He doesn't want to be out there
getting
battered. He's a competitive dude, man. Yeah.
I mean, again, today in 2024, 87, 88 on the fastball with no movement does not work. Does not work, Cap. In an era now where everything's 95 to 100, he's throwing 87. You can't throw lettuce up there and think that you're going to get out.
Did you watch the first inning?
Yeah, I watched the game.
First inning, he strikes out Marte, and that changeup was diving.
Yeah.
Diving.
Yep.
He got 2 strikeouts in the first inning. He got another one in the second. I'm like, wow. He might have fixed his mechanics. And all of a sudden now, here comes Marte again. Bang! Base hit. There's another one. Rocket. There's a home run. There's another home run. I'm like, okay.
It's elevated. Of course.
What's going on here? Because he's in great shape. He takes care of himself. It's not like he looks like Bartolo Colon out there.
No, I understand. But let's talk about this. Jameson Taillon is coming off the injured list later this week. you have choices. You have Brown, who I know that a lot of people are impressed by Brown. Can I just see more of a body of work? Early on, he's fooling people because there's not enough tape on Brown. However, he is effective as up to this point.
Well, he's also got great stuff.
Okay. But again, we know how these hitters are in Major League Baseball.
They adjust.
They find a way. But I'm saying right now, good, right? So then Assad, who I'm a bigger fan of than you. Assad is as a stopgap starter, end of the rotation guy, five-plus innings eater. I think he could be that guy. Or long relief.
I got no issues with Assad. I think he's an all-star? No.
No, but that's okay. But this is what we talk about every morning, Cap. Like, everybody can't be five stars.
Correct.
Everybody on your roster can't. You'd want them to be five stars. When we talk football all the time, we're talking about this offensive line or defense. Like, everybody can't be all pros.
Correct.
But can you get the job done? We can get all pros, but then the other guys in the middle, okay, they're solid. Same thing with a baseball rotation. If Assad is your fifth starter, you're not kicking him out of bed for that. Five-plus innings? Not bad if he's that guy. And I think he has good stuff. He battles you, Assad. I think that's okay.
Agreed.
What I'm saying
is... He's the least of your issues.
But what I'm saying is that you have choices here. The names I mentioned, Brown, Assad, and then Wicks. How are you handling this in the next couple of weeks?
Well, Wicks goes today. It's a big start for him.
Right?
Wicks, Assad, Brown, Tyone is going to start Thursday.
Okay.
He's back.
Now.
So hopefully the back holds up and he's good. You have him, and then who am I missing? I'm missing somebody. Justin Steele's on the injured list.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other? Oh, Imanaga.
Yes.
He's throwing the heck out of the ball.
Yep.
Now, again, nobody's going to be perfect every time out. He's been great so far, but he's not going to go 27-0. You're going to have to deal with the adjustment made to him and then his adjustment back, the whole deal. A lot different pitching at Wrigley when it's 89 degrees and the wind's blowing out versus 41 and the wind's howling in off the lake.
I want you to tell me, coming up, how we handle the rotation, if you're the Cubs. Because it's a good problem to have, but then there's some guys that just can't be on the ball club moving forward if you're ineffective. So I want to talk to you about this. Cap says, it's time to professionally put down Kyle Hendricks. Is he right? Cub fans, did you watch that game yesterday? We want to talk to you about it. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Also, a list of good and bad with this Cubs team. I have it on the yellow pad. I want to go over it with Cap coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Oh, Cap, Jay Hood, big fan, man.
Cap
and Hood. Bop, 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 bop. Watch out, fellas.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
We'll hear from Albert Breer, a special edition of Albert Breer coming up at 7:35 as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Also hearing from Tom Waddle on a Waddle Wednesday at 8:35. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I are discussing the Cubs lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks by a score of 12-11. Both games going in extra innings. Monday's game going into extras, 11 innings, and the Cubs won 3-2. But last night, that was bad. And so for all of the good, like Bush is a positive on this Cubs team. Imanaga, a positive on this Cubs team. Morrell, I think, a positive on the team. And then you're getting something from Cooper that you not expect when he comes in there, Cap. I mean, he was the DH yesterday. So you get, you know, Ian Happ also, a big game for him yesterday. For all that, then there's Kyle Hendricks, and then it's the leaky defense. The defense, and again, it's still a long season, but the defense that you were sure that would be airtight up the middle. But for whatever reason, Dansby Swanson, not great shortstop. I worried about Morrell at third. What about Swanson at short? The airtight defense up the middle. What happened? It's not been good early.
No, it has not been good early. Nico Horner starting to hit the ball very well. Two nights ago had a good night. Last night a four-hit night. But Swanson, I don't know what's going on with him. His bat looks like a Nerf bat, like I had as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Come on. Let's go. Eighth inning, I got a lead. I need my lockdown defense to play lockdown defense. Boy, you hit a ball against that Cub team and they don't miss. Not so much.
It's funny. This show sounds like last year, especially late when it comes to the bullpen. But hey, Cap, you couldn't get your bullpen better because, you know, RSNs, the whole TV deal. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Well, I mean, you couldn't spend any money on. I mean,
again, I understood not signing Jordan Montgomery. Never asked for that. You know that.
I understand that. But
you're telling me there's no bullpen arm. There's no one in your system. Your system's ranked top five. There's no one I could bring up here.
This is an organization that empowers the kids. Where are they? Now, you can't have all kids in your bullpen. I understand that. Young players, what I mean.
Correct.
But, I mean, the idea that, well, you know, Cap, we would have spent money, but that old RSN thing, our hands were tied.
But they are spending.
But it just, what I'm saying is that the idea that they use that and dangle that as an excuse or a reason, that's one thing. But you still, if you're going for it, you do what you can. If you're not going to get a frontline offensive player, if you're not going to get a frontline starter, then you definitely have to be able to redo your bullpen. You know that was your bugaboo last year.
Correct.
You have some of the same guys in there this year. That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, their payroll is $230 million.
The idea that Drew Smyly's on this roster is funny to me. I told you that before the season. I don't care what was on his deal, if he had a two-year deal or whatever. He did not belong on this ball club. I told you that before the season. He just doesn't.
But, well, here's the one thing I would say to you. I don't have a problem he's on the roster because you need to have, I think you said 12 the other day. I think it's a little less than that, but I get your point.
Just injuries.
Eight guys that can make a competent start.
Yeah.
He can at least take the ball and make a start if I have injury. So I have no problem. I'm already paying him. Why should I pay him to play for someone else? I have no problem that he's a long man. But I need somebody other than Mark Leiter who I hand that ball to and go, 90% of the time, that dude is going to get the job done. Now, Josh Hader's off to a terrible start. And somebody, Houston, I think, paid him a bunch of money. And obviously, from what I've heard, council didn't want him back here.
Stroh's terrible.
He managed Hader, so he would know.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me there was no other option to go get somebody that can close at the back end. No other option. And what, are we waiting for July to make another Aroldis trade? You're telling me there was no one else we could bring here. Yeah, drop the ball, and I'm pissed.
You know what, here's how I look at it with the Cubs, Cap. You know what? I will judge the Cubs by the time we get to the deadline, because you and I know it's a long season, and that sucked yesterday, because that stung yesterday. I will judge this Cubs team by what they do at the deadline. If they do have the same deadline that they had last year and it's like, oh, you know, we're good, then you don't have the real commitment to winning. I don't care how much you spend. If you're really going for it, you add on.
Agreed. Totally agree with you.
So,
and there is no reason that they don't win that division. No reason.
In McHenry, here's Phil leading us off on Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, Phil, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Cap?
What's up, kid?
How you doing, Hoodie? Hey, nice show. Listen, I agree with you 100%. I've been trying to take a deep breath on what happened last night. And, of course, it was a fun game. Offensively, it's great to see these guys do it. When they were down 4-1, they came back, and they were up 5-4. I'm like, wow, look at this. And, of course, Council lets Hendricks stay in and a little too long. And, of course, Luke Little comes in and Mr. Wildman. And the rest of you know what happened. But, you know, it really comes down to the arms, as you keep talking about. Hendricks is – I love Hendricks. Everything you said about Hendricks, I agree with you 100%, but it's that time. Just like when John Lester – you remember John Lester, how he in the summer he started having problems? He didn't have that same bite with his fastball, and you just kind of knew that it was over. And
Time is undefeated. Phil, thanks, man. Appreciate your passion. Father Time is undefeated. And when you watch Kyle pitch, I listened to Kyle's interview with Taylor McGregor, and he said, I'm not giving my team a chance to win, and it's super frustrating. And I'll keep working, but I am not giving us a chance when I go out there and get my head kicked in every fifth day. And he's right. He is right. So do you let him go back out? Last night was what, Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he'd pitch Sunday against the Marlins. The Marlins are horrible. They're what, 3 wins?
They are.
I guess I would let him pitch against the Marlins at home. And if that game goes awry, then I'd probably put him on the injured list.
Please tell me he's starting because I will bet the Marlins hard.
Well, I think the Cubs offense at home can make it a softer landing spot?
I'd say the Cubs win the series, but Hendricks is not fooling anybody out there at all.
Right.
At all.
I think the Marlins just beat the Yankees, so there is talent there.
Sure. John in Lakeland on ESPN 1000. Hey, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you guys doing this morning?
We're good, man. What's going on?
Hobby's winter home.
That's it. Lakeland, listen, Florida.
You got it, buddy. Listen, maybe Kyle should go on Shea's team on the 16-inch softball team, because that's what he's throwing up that hit.
I don't know if Shea can hit that either.
Oh, stop.
Well,
he could.
He's floating that stuff up there.
It's slow motion, isn't it, John?
Oh, it's horrible. And then the other thing is, when you put him down, is this one of those, you put him down, you have the vet come to the clubhouse and put him down, or they let him do it at home?
You get one of those midwives. Do they have like a dog midwife?
Yeah. Hey, guys, you take care. I love you guys a lot.
Appreciate you, buddy.
A dog midwife, did you say?
Dog midwife.
You do it, hon. I'm going to go out and smoke. Let me know when it's done.
I didn't go when Yoshi went. Mindy did.
No, of course.
I had a doctor's appointment. I had a physical that day. You can't. These doctors with the physicals, you call and go, hey, I'd like to get a physical. Yeah, we can see you in 2025. We're booked. What?
You know I know.
So, yeah. So I said, hun, I'll go with you. It's my guy. She's like, absolutely not. You're getting your physical. I'll handle this.
Mm-hmm.
She's a beast.
Well, that's fair. But because you know how it is, Cap. I mean, trying to see your doctors, trying to get into the new hot restaurant, trying to get a reservation to the new hot restaurant. Can I get two?
Two for Saturday night at 8. How about I can get you in November 26th at 11:30. We have the last seating. Yeah, no. That's not what I want.
That is at the doctor, man. Be on that waiting
list.
By
the way, thank you to Chief Cub. Good follow on Twitter, Chief Cub.
Yeah.
Chief Cub just put out the Cubs bullpen stats, rankings in Major League Baseball. 73 and two-thirds innings pitched. That's fifth in baseball, so that's a lot. 4.40 ERA, 20th. 144 walks and hits per innings pitch, 23rd. 24.3 K percentage, that's 15th, as pedestrian as it gets. 14% walk rate, that's 27th. 4 saves, that's 20th. 5 blown saves, that's 27th.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yes, it is.
Like when Jed wakes up this morning and he gets in his car and he's driving to Wrigley, he's got to go in the office and go, okay, that's it. Suzanne, get me Steve Phillips on the phone. Remember from Moneyball?
Oh, yeah.
All right, what do you want for Rincon? Or what do you want for this guy? Just get me an arm.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I know people listening this morning say, well, Cap, it's just through 17 games. It's 10-7. You just don't want what you're seeing right now to be a theme. That's what we're talking about. But we're not saying that this is the way it's going to be all season. But if it doesn't turn around, it will be a theme. And so it goes back to what Cap and I talked about before the season, and that is that if you really believe that you're going to win the division, you got to make some changes. Not wholesale changes, but you know what your issue was last year. Your bullpen was tired. They were taxed. That's why you did not win the division. That's why you didn't get to the playoffs last year. This year has to be different if you're going to really make a move. RSNs, TV deals aside, you have to make the proper deals to solidify yourself as a playoff team. Albert Breer on the NFL. That's coming up next on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood. You're officially locked in. Throw your hands up in the sky. On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Hello. Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and J-Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
Albert Breer is with us usually every Tuesday, but we got a special Wednesday edition of Albert Breer.
We do, because he was watching Top Gun Maverick on his flight back from Europe. He's a man after my own heart. I'm going to watch it again tomorrow on the plane when I go to Portland. Visit our son. He's on the CarX tire at Auto High.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Crack of whack.
Good morning, Albert. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I did think, by the way, I love Top Gun Maverick. I think it should have ended about 20 minutes before it did. Does that make sense?
No, like, why?
The last 20 minutes were pretty unrealistic. I don't know. I mean, like, I thought, like, it was cool, and that they should have just had them get away. Yeah, after they landed in the, they parachuted down and found each other there and then stole the F-14, I thought that was a little much. Don't you?
A little hokey.
I love the movie, but...
The movie is so good. One of my favorite scenes...
You know what I mean, right? Like, isn't that, You stole an F-14 from I didn't even say what country it was, right? Like a Russian war station or something.
Right, right. And he's like, he flips the switch. Oh, wow, the machine still works. Let's go. But you know what? My favorite scene is when, first of all, I can't stand John Hamm. He may be the nicest man in the world. Every movie that guy's in, he's a jag. A. B, he's a St. Louis Cardinals fan, so I don't like him. And when he goes, what's that? And you see Maverick run it. That test at 2:15, that is the greatest scene in the movie.
Yeah. No, that was good. Definitely. It was well done. I just think like the whole end of it, like, I know these movies aren't realistic to begin with, so trust me, I'm not going into it looking for like some authentic experience, but right. You would like it to be a little bit more believable than what we got at the very end.
I get it.
I just think that's funny. I mean, all of it's unrealistic to me.
All of it is, Hoodie. But I mean, like, you might at least like to think like it's plausible.
Yeah.
Did you saw? I'm assuming. Did you see it, Hoodie?
Yes.
Okay, so like really, you're gonna break into like a, or not even break in, but like there's just gonna be an F-14 that's like operational, like sitting there for you to fly out of there. I don't know. I mean, like, it's just. It's just a little much, you know?
I want to ask you about J.J. McCarthy and the quarterbacks that's out there. So I know that as a college football fan as well, you saw plenty of McCarthy in Michigan and to where
that's
he is
like
right
much
now.
Of him.
Yeah. I mean, so I get it. I want to know just how he's able to get to this level right now on these mock drafts where they see him as a third or fourth best quarterback. How did he get here?
Yeah, I think he's a good player. But there's a lot of disagreement about him, I would say. And I've spent a lot of time on the phone over the last week asking about the quarterbacks from scouts, from coaches. You know, and I think it's interesting because with him, you're like projecting certain things, and it's a different projection than Drake May. Like, Drake May is also a projection, right? But they're projections in different ways. With Drake May, you don't need to close your eyes and wonder what it's like for him to carry a team. Like, he had to be the best player out there, like, every game for them to have a chance, you know? Like, how often did J.J. McCarthy have to be the best player on the field for Michigan to win?
He did not have to at all.
He handed the ball off.
Right. Like, I mean, it's just, and that's the thing is, so, it's like, what happens when you're on a bad team in the NFL? What happens when you're in third and long constantly? What happens when you're playing from behind? Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all fair questions, you know? And I know his numbers are really good on third and long, but it's like if you were only in that situation, say, 15 or 20 times all year, well, then, like, the coaching staff is going to have a lot of stuff in its bag for that, right? If you're constantly doing that, like, then that's a different circumstance. So, you know, there's just like, a lot of projection with him. And, you know, I think if you're projecting, you'd like to see overwhelming physical talent, and that isn't there either. Now, what you do have is a guy who's got really good intangibles, who's really smart, who is a really good athlete, who's got a really good arm. But, you know, it's not like, put it this way, like, one thing, like, when you watch him, right, like, and what I've heard from coaches and scouts consistently on him, he needs a lot of time and space to throw the ball. And so, you know, the Michigan offensive line gave him time to throw the ball, and they gave him space to throw the ball. And when he didn't have space, he was athletic enough in the Big Ten to get away from guys to create that space for himself. And even throws where you see him kind of scrambling to the edge and throwing, like, he's got space. You know, when things are like closing down on him, when he's in awkward body positions, can he make those throws? And can he do it consistently? And, you know, I just think, like, with him, it's you're just predicting a bunch of things. And I'm not saying he's not going to make it, but it's a little harder to envision him as the kind of quarterback who can carry a team than it would be with, you know, a Caleb Williams, a Jaden Daniels, or a Drake May. Now, I would say, like, you know, on the flip side, his floor is higher than Drake May. right? His floor may be higher than Jaden Daniels. I think Caleb's in a different category, but his floor is pretty high. Like, I think he's going to be a good player. You know, one comp I heard that I sort of liked was Brock Purdy, just who he is physically, kind of the intangibles and everything else. Like, if you take Brock Purdy 5th overall, 10th overall, is that a good result? I think that's sort of a beauty in the eye of the beholder thing. It's sort of what you're looking for, the position, you know?
So let me ask you a question, because you've got Keenan Allen on the final year of his deal. We just saw Devontae Smith get 3 for 75, so we know where the market is headed wide receiver-wise. While I would love to draft an offensive lineman if Joe Alt was in play, I don't think he will be at 9, but if there's the right O-lineman, you've got a glaring need in your wide receiver room. Is there anybody that you see in the market that's going to get released, whether it's an O-lineman or a wide receiver or an edge rusher? Those are three huge needs they have, and they don't have much draft capital.
Yeah, they don't have 4 picks. And so, you know, like, one thing I've heard on the Bears over the last couple of weeks, I'd say, is that they're investigating moving up. They're also investigating moving down, and they may prefer to move down. Now, I think part of it's going to depend for them on what happens with the top receivers. Like, does Harrison make it to them? I don't think so. Does Neighbors make it to them? Probably not. Could either of those guys make it to them and be in a position where maybe they could make a short move up and get one of them? You know, I certainly think that that's something that could be in play. But absent, you know, a circumstance like that, my feeling would be if Harrison are gone, if Dallas Turner's gone, a lot of people expect Dallas Turner to go 8th to the Falcons. Could they trade down? And could they trade down and accumulate a little bit more draft capital? And could they accumulate a little more draft capital and get a pretty good offensive lineman, say, in the mid-teens somewhere? I think they probably could. And, you know, I think they could potentially have a trade partner in Indianapolis, maybe somebody like that coming up. You know, maybe Jacksonville looking for an offensive skill player if one of those skill players falls into that range. So I think Ryan Poles is in an interesting spot because, you know, with only 4 picks, it's going to be tough to address multiple needs. So you could go big and either make a short move up or stick where you are and take one of those offensive skill guys, or you could move down and kind of take the approach that we're going to address multiple needs. Because I do think there are some teams, like, a little further down there, again, your Indianapolis or Jacksonville, that could investigate making a move up into the top 10 to try to get one of the offensive skill guys.
Albert Breer is with us. We'll have more with him as we move forward as we talk Bears in the NFL draft on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back
to Cap and J Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Albert Breer is from SI.com and Monday Morning Quarterback, joining us here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Albert, we haven't talked to you about Keenan Allen now being a part of the Chicago Bears. I told Cap, I said, I feel like he's going to be a Bear for the minimum of 2 years, and you got to kind of think about your wide receivers of the future. Is that something you talked about, the things that the Bears could do in the draft? Does it make sense for them to get a wide receiver at 9, knowing that Allen's not going to be here for the long haul?
It does, I think, because it also, like, puts you in a position where, you know, going forward, you are taking advantage of your quarterback's rookie contract window, and you don't need to, you know, fork another contract over a receiver, because you're going to have that premium position taken care of, at least in part, with a guy who's a high first-round pick and is going to be under cost control for the next 4 years. And that'll allow you to spend more in other areas, you know, primarily on defense. So, yeah, I think that makes sense. And, you know, look, I don't think Keenan Allen's done. You know, I think, you know, he could have 3, 4, 5 more years left. Like, you know, now generally, like, receivers decline at the age that he's at. And I know the history of it. I just sort of view him as like a, you know, like Larry Fitzgerald, where if you look at Larry, like, what was amazing about him was he was this dominant outside receiver. And then he sort of was such a smart, resourceful, hardworking player that he was able to reinvent himself later in his career as like a slot receiver, like a big, powerful slot receiver. You know, I could see Keenan Allen kind of going through a similar transformation where he's able to find a different way to contribute and, you know, be a guy who's there long term for the Bears. And, you know, if you have DJ Moore and then, you know, another younger player there, it doesn't necessarily need to be a first rounder, but you have another younger player there, well, then you can sort of transition Keenan Allen down the line where he can, you know, find a role that's more suitable as he gets older. So I do think it does make some sense, you know. And look, like, I'm not a guy who, you know, thinks you need the best receiver group in the league to win a championship. I think history tells you you don't if you've got the quarterback position right. You know, but I do think it's a good idea to use resources to try to make sure you're taking advantage of you having your quarterback on a rookie contract and giving him all the support he needs and would need to be successful early on.
In terms of Marvin Harrison, so he only made 30 visits to Arizona and Chicago from what I've heard. And there was a tweet about that the other day, and it said, well, he either wants to play with Kyler Murray or Caleb Williams. And Carl Williams retweeted that. And I looked at it and went, that's interesting. So to go from 9 to, let's call it, 4 with Arizona, and you want Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
If you gave up the Carolina number 2 pick next year, is that enough?
No, not even close. The Cardinals are driving a hard bargain on that. And if New England decides to stick at 3 and take a cornerback, then the value of that pick at 4 goes through the roof.
Yep.
Everything I've gathered over the last week, 2 weeks, like, Monty Austin-Court is the general manager there for the Cardinals, is holding teams at gunpoint. Like, it's not going to be easy to get up there. Now maybe he comes off of that as you get closer to the draft, but, you know, I know it's not going to be easy to get there. I think the Chargers might be a little bit more amenable to moving. And that could wind up working out for you. You know, because if you look at it, like, and I think, you know, Minnesota's obviously going to play a part in this too. But if, as long as J.J. McCarthy is on the board, then I think the price of 4, 5, the rest of those picks is going to remain high. If J.J. comes off the board at 4, then I think that hurt the value of the 5th pick a little bit. And then the Chargers have a decision to make on what they're willing to take there.
Any chance J.J. goes top three?
Yeah. What happened?
Any chance that JJ slides in the top three?
I think right now the likelihood is that does not happen. I think right now the likelihood is Jaden goes 2 to Washington, and if I had to guess, Drake May goes 3 to either New England, the Giants, or the Vikings. I think if New England decides not to take Drake, they may trade down and then try to trade back up to go and get JJ. I think right now the likelihood is probably that Drake May goes 3rd overall, whether it's New England or somebody else.
There you have it. Albert, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on today.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good
one. You're the best.
It is Albert Breer with us
on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Good info.
Don't call the CarX man.
Do not doubt my prayer circle. That is the flower of my prayer circle. I have made Jaden Daniels the 2nd pick in this draft.
See, as a Patriots fan, he wants the better quarterback. He feels like May is going to be able to unlock the mystery of the Patriots at the quarterback position.
He'll be sick if Drake May's on the board and they don't take
you
him.
You got to hand over that minister card. That comes to me now. The prayer circle has worked so well.
It has not yet because the draft's next Thursday night.
That's going to be fun.
And we will have live coverage from Soldier Field that night. And Waddle and Sylvia will be there in the afternoon. It's going to be amazing.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.